You're listening to Green Building and Sustainable Development with your host, Kim Shanahan.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Green Building and Sustainable Development. Really glad you're with us on this beautiful Saturday here in Santa Fe. Every Saturday is beautiful in Santa Fe. And it's a nice long weekend, Labor Day weekend. And, hey, we just wanted to let you know that wanted to promote another Parade of Homes. I know that listeners know that we finished up our Parade of Homes here in Santa Fe a couple weeks ago. Really had a great, successful parade. But we've got another one coming up. It's a subchapter of our association up in Angel Fire. And they always do their Parade of Homes up in Angel Fire on Labor Day weekend. So it's Saturday and Sunday. It's going on today, but it's also going on tomorrow. There are 10 homes in that parade up in Angel Fire. And if you were just looking for something to do on a beautiful Sunday in Santa Fe, get in the car, head on up to Angel Fire. They've got 10 homes in their Parade of Homes up there. It's a whole different perspective than what we think about Santa Fe style. It's Angel Fire style. Some great, great log homes, really some talented builders up there. So if you're looking for something to do tomorrow, think about driving up to Angel Fire and visit our brethren up there in Angel Fire and their Parade of Homes. Today, however, we're going to change gears and get a little bit out of residential construction and talk about something else. I think a lot of folks know that I'm kind of a soft touch for a lot of nonprofits here in town. I've helped out with the remodel of the Pete's Pets into the Santa Fe Resource and Opportunity Center. I work with the Santa Fe Habitat for Humanity. Matter of fact, we're planning a six-day builder blitz with Habitat in October. But today I want to talk about one of my newest and most favorite nonprofits, and that is something called Horses for Heroes. Horses for Heroes. And Horses for Heroes is really an amazing, amazing organization that I was just introduced to a few months ago. And I got roped in, lassoed in to help out with something they've got going down on Highway 14. And in the studio today, I have one of my newest best friends, Rick Iannucci. And Rick is the executive director of Horses for Heroes. So, Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Kim. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's great to be here instead of being out there in that hot sun working on that bunkhouse. So anyway, before we get into actually what you're doing out there as far as a building project, let's just get started with Rick Iannucci and Horses for Heroes. Let's start with Horses for Heroes. What is it about?
Horses for Heroes, New Mexico Incorporated, and the Cowboy Up program is a skill set wellness restructuring program for combat wounded and PTSD veterans based out in Santa Fe County. Basically, it's Cowboy 101 for veterans is what it is. We believe that horses in and of themselves are therapeutic, so it's almost a given. It's like buying shoes that have shoelaces, you know. So we don't call it horse therapy per se. We just know that all the things that we do that surround us with the horses and the ranch and things like that, cattle, are therapeutic in and of themselves. It goes without saying. But what we're doing is we're taking combat skills and essentially restructuring them so that the guys and gals can come out and experience a whole nother side of themselves and reprogram some of their memory, which supplants the PTSD and some of the wounds that they may have and those unseen wounds I just spoke about, using horses for starters. Mm-hmm. And that's always our cornerstone and
Well, I've heard you say that this isn't about putting combat vets on pony rides. This is something a whole lot more, isn't it?
Exactly right. It's very similar to what you're doing with your youth builders and with your core kids. You're not just letting them watch you build a building. You've got it's hands on from the ground up.
Right.
And because I've worked with your kids already, and
we'll get into that later.
And they're great. So I know what you're doing. So we're doing a very similar thing, starting from the ground up with grooming. And the mindfulness that it takes to be communicating and partnering with that horse, that's where they start. And then they go beyond that into saddling. And then we teach real American horsemanship. It's not just get on, have two sidewalkers walk you around, and ask you how you feel about yourself today.
Right.
We actually give them, like Clinton Anderson or Craig Cameron or some of the luminaries in the horse industry today, the horse training industry today. We do very similar things using those same techniques.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, you are a cowboy. If people could see you, they'd be very impressed. You look like you just stepped off a movie set. You got that nice handlebar mustache. You got those nice clean Wranglers. Everything's starched and pressed. But you didn't start out as a cowboy. You're a combat veteran yourself, aren't you?
Well, I served twice in the different militaries. I was in the Marines in the late 70s towards the end of Vietnam, and then got out, and then was a contractor over in the Middle East for many years, and then went back in the Army and went to the United States Army Special Forces and served with both the 11th and the 7th Special Forces right. Group.
So I know a lot of the things that you've experienced in your own life, if you actually told me about, you'd probably have to kill me, right?
I don't know all about that, but I actually was raised around horses. I was raised on in between horse farms in the Pennsylvania countryside, actually. Uh-huh. Out near where the U.S. Olympic equestrian team trained and had their headquarters for many, many years, where the Battle of the Brandywine was.
Right. Well, back east, it was all there are no pommels on the saddles, right? It was kind of dressage.
Quite the contrary. No? King Ranch had a huge ranch out there where we were. And
there's a King Ranch in Pennsylvania?
The King Ranch had a place in Pennsylvania, a place that they could do some.
Not the same King Ranch we got here.
Oh, the same King Ranch that we had in that they have in Texas. And
thinking Bruce King.
This King. Okay. No, okay. I'm talking about the Texas people.
Right, the big one.
Yeah, they had a big facility there that because they would always swap cows around if the drought would come up. They had a place to off their cattle prior to sending them to feedlot. So they would. The right. Pennsylvania countryside was lush with grass, and we had plenty of cowboys there.
Huh.
So
I'll be darned.
And we had the oldest rodeo in the country there, the Cowtown Rodeo in Willistown, New Jersey.
No way.
Yep. So the oldest rodeo in the United States of America.
So this isn't
that Pendleton.
This isn't an affectation. This is something you come by naturally.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't sing and dance. So, it was something that I wanted to do, and I didn't make pizzas. So.
Well, the Iannucci's never made pizzas. I find that hard to believe.
No, of course we're kidding.
Well, how did you know that the cowboy way was something that combat veterans? I mean, obviously you had your own love of horses and your own experience as a combat veteran. But what made you realize that this is something that you could kind of give back to your fellow warriors?
Well, having been in special forces, and one of our primary missions that we do is combat patrolling for different things. For instance, we have a formula that we follow, and I just figured that the formulas were almost the same. First of all, the cowboy code is about the same as the warrior code. Live each day with courage, take pride in your work, always finish what you start, do what has to be done, be tough but fair. When you make a promise, keep it. Ride for the brand, talking about loyalty. Talk less, say more. Remember that some things are not for sale, and know when to draw the line. And if we took that cowboy code as a template for the warrior code, you can almost put them over like you're putting your hands together and clapping. It just fit. It's a good fit.
I always thought that was the home builder's code, actually.
Well, it could be, and okay. More people should take it to heart and use it in that way.
Yeah.
And then, as from a practical matter, what we do, for instance, when we get the guys and gals out with us, we've had our first female graduate, our first Native American graduate, and in our 13 objective program, we'll take something like, where they may be at the VA and the VA saying to them, well, Kim, forget all about what you happened to you down there. We're going to try to let you start over again. And there's a new world here. And I actually say quite the opposite. I say, Kim, tell me what the last good thing you remember you knew how to do before you got wounded or blown up or whatever. And most of the guys say, well, I was on a combat patrol or something like that. I said, good. Do you remember your formula for combat patrolling, CACOA, key terrain, observation, fields of fire, cover and concealment, obstacles, avenues of approach? And they go, yeah, man, I remember all that. I said, good. Well, we're going to teach you how to work cattle the same way. And they look at me like I'm a cyclop with a little eye in the middle of my forehead. And I go, okay, avenues of approach. When we come up on these cows, you don't want to go headlong into it, just like you wouldn't charge headlong into a machine gun nest,
right.
Or an ambush or an IED. I said, you'd make sure you scouted the terrain out, came around the side, eased up on it. Well, we're going to do the same thing when I'm asking you to go after those mama cows and those babies that are laying low in that little ravine down there.
So they get that. Yeah.
So they get all these aha moments because we're using the things that we're using are analogous to what the experience that they just had.
Right.
So it's a very unique a blend of what we're doing. I don't know if you're familiar with the work that Dr. Jerry Valentine's doing at Yale University. And
can't say that I am, but what is that?
Well, it's basically very similar to what we're doing. He's been writing about that. In fact, he came out and spent the day with us yesterday out at the ranch, and we'll probably end up doing somewhat of a book together and a thesis together, because this process is what they're doing is basically memory reprogramming, so that you can take that memory. The more you do something else, the more it will, and then you relate it to that experience, like working cattle or something, it starts taking on that meaning now, and you basically supplant that old memory that is full of PTS, stress, and things like that, and you replace it with something that's new. Now, you never get rid of all that, but what you start doing is it starts coming to a situation where when you have your triggers, you can now re-trigger it with something new.
Right.
Using the mindfulness techniques that are very popular now with the VA and in Santa Fe. I went to a mindfulness course here myself.
So you're kind of overlaying a new age sort of aspect.
Well,
actually, Rick, I'm going to have to interrupt you.
Surely.
We're going to have to finish up this segment. When I come back, I kind of want to pursue that angle a little bit about how your experience in your life in Santa Fe may kind of even influence what you're doing with these warriors. So, folks, stay tuned. I think it's an interesting show, and it's certainly with a good friend of mine, Rick Iannucci, Executive Director of Horses for Heroes New Mexico, and we're going to be talking about the program and also talking about a project we've got underway, a building project, a green building project that we're trying to do down the ranch on Highway 14 down by the Lone Butte. So, folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
To see what the week could do, just me and you, come on and steer. Just me and you, come on and steer it up. Come on, little dog.
Hey folks, welcome back. This is Kim, your host. This is Green Building Sustainable Development. Just want to remind you that the show is brought to you by the Santa Fe Area Home Builders Association, where I have the great privilege of being their executive officer. And as a matter of fact, today on Saturday, I just finished this up. Yesterday, on Friday, I was up in Angel Fire being a judge in their annual Parade of Homes. They got 10 beautiful homes up there. And if you are hearing about this right now, you should think about maybe driving up there on Sunday and checking out their parade. They've got some cool, cool stuff up there. Really great, great builders, and completely different than what we're normally used to seeing here in Santa Fe. Much more of a Western kind of style, a lot of log homes. You know, their key feeder market up there in Angel Fire are folks from Texas, honestly. So they get a lot of that cowboy influence on the things that they do up there. Speaking of cowboys, we got one of Santa Fe's coolest cowboys right here in the studio today, Mr. Rick Iannucci, the executive director of Horses for Heroes New Mexico. And before we took a break, we were kind of teasing Rick a little bit about the fact that he's kind of gone a little new age on us, maybe, which is hard to imagine and probably kind of a stretch if you actually saw him. But Rick, you were just saying that you had taken some kind of seminar or class here in Santa Fe. What was that about?
We took we had found that a lot of our veterans were going through the VA programs, the PTSD, the STAR and post-STAR programs, inpatient programs. And part of what we teach on horseback started paralleling what they were telling me was part of their mindfulness classes.
Mindfulness.
So we ended up taking Nancy and I, who's my fiance and co-director, Nancy DeSantis. She found a class that was going to be held at the Unitarian Church up there. And,
right.
and we spent the next several weeks, I guess it was 6 weeks, taking a mindfulness class so we could see how that could impact and how we could relate that to classes that they were taking at the VA.
Right.
What we discovered was that it wasn't a woo-woo zen, let's sing kumbaya, but it was actually some of the principles that we were already using.
Right.
Just packaged in a different way,
yeah.
Giving us some certain techniques and things that we were using all along. I had a funny talk after we were done the class with my friend and our 84-year-old senior statesman, Henry McKinley, who has the Staple Cross Ranch, one of the oldest ranchers in Santa Fe County. And I told him what we were doing. He says, well, I don't know about all that Zen stuff. He said, I just know when I'm on a horse or when I'm a horseback, it just feels right. And so that was Henry's idea of where of, you know,
mindfulness.
That was his idea of mindfulness. And but actually, in actuality, it's basically a way of codifying what we actually do horseback.
Right.
It's centering yourself. It's clearing your mind. It's because the horses demand your attention. If you're sleeping at the switch, and they see and the black paper bag or the black plastic bag comes rolling
right.
along,
and you're rearing and bucking,
you're rodeoing. Yeah. So if you're not paying attention and you're not underneath that horse correctly, you're gonna be an astronaut,
yeah.
an astronaut training, you know. So so it's that mindfulness that also directly correlates to how to supplant that those PTSD triggers and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it all really works out pretty well.
Kind of a be here now sort of thing.
Exactly. You know, if Ram Dass was out here, we'd be throwing him a horseback and telling him how to get this done, man.
Well, Ram Dass was here last week, and they're certainly promoting it here at Hunt and Broadcasting. I know they kept breaking into my show last week and talking about Ram Dass. You know, interesting thing, because that's a long way from, you know, Special Forces and Green Berets, but obviously it all fits together. But I would imagine, especially, you know, having Dr. Valentine come out here, that you personally, your mindset has really expanded in terms of what therapy is. Am I right? I mean, you must have had personally kind of a growth phenomena going on here, too.
It's been just as this building project, which we'll talk about later, has been a learning curve for me. This whole project's been a learning curve. And in many times we don't find out so much what we're doing right, but we certainly find out which things we don't need to do again.
Right. Well, I mean, talk about that. How did you personally decide this is something I'm going to devote my life to doing?
Well, you know, I was a chief of the Special Missions Unit in Bogota, Colombia, when I retired in 2005.
Working for the Federal Marshal, right?
From the Federal Marshals with the Justice Department. I was right. running an anti-kidnapping operation over there in Colombia. For the judiciary and the witnesses, you know, being a judge in Colombia back in the 2001 years to about 2003
means
or 4.
You had a target on your back.
Yeah, it was not a growth industry, you
yeah.
know, or being a witness. Not a lot of people standing up saying, hey, take me, I'll right. happy to do that, you know. So we changed the paradigm over there in Colombia by developing a training program and basically training the trainers. And we put about 700 guys on the ground in 11 cities, in 11 of the most contentious cities in where the FARC guerrillas were very active over there. And I took a lot of those same principles because that's what I've been doing most of my career, is training troops or training police officers in special ops capabilities.
Right.
So to me, it was almost like a natural fit when we came back. I had a little daughter who was... I was a widower at the time. I had a little daughter, and she was in the fifth grade
yeah.
at Turquoise Trail Elementary. And we said, you know, she wanted to get involved with horses again. And I'd been raising horses all my life. We had a ranch in Colorado. We had one in Louisiana. We had one in Pennsylvania. So it was just a natural thing to ratchet everything back up.
Education, horses.
Get the horses. And yeah. we started a 4-H club out on Turquoise Trail. In fact, it was called the Turquoise Trail Wranglers. And within a few years, and we had it for about 6 years, we became a very progressive rodeo club. Western Horseman Magazine came out and visited us. And according to Western Horseman Magazine, we were the fastest growing ranch rodeo club other than Garfield County, Utah.
Huh.
So anyway, so we took pride in that. We ran it the right way. And of course, 4-H is a great organization, very near and dear to our heart. And so we raised our kids inside that 4-H organization. When we got a call in about 2007, somewhere along the line, and somebody asked me, would I take a veteran on? And I said, sure, we'll get him horseback. So we started working with one or two, and we joined forces with another guy that was doing something similar to us. And then once we got our mindset on where we were going with this, we started figuring out that, you know what, the horse therapy was okay, but it wasn't all that.
Yeah, pony rides.
Where we needed to go with it was we watched a couple of our veterans. We invited them out. I was doing some day work with Steve Price at Bonanza Creek Ranch, working his cattle. We decided, you know, I was driving back in the truck with Steve, and I said, you know, we had this guy out here, and boy, I'll tell you what, since he's been coming out helping us, he's really gotten his act together. He can, you know, light a cigarette now without shaking, and he can do many things. And just by cowboying up, And And so it came to us that Cowboy 101 skill set restructuring was really the way to go.
Right.
Instead, you know, because a 55-minute session is going to be great a couple times. You do it 10 times, you're done. Thank you very much. Move on to the next challenge, bass fishing or whatever it might be. And I'm not throwing any rocks at that stuff. It's all great stuff.
Yeah.
But what we thought was that they needed a few different things. They had to have their skill sets restructured. They had to, starting with the horsemanship, moving on to ranch work, cattle work, things of that nature. They had to be in a community, but more importantly, it was the camaraderie.
Yeah.
When they get off the horse, our sessions aren't 55 minutes. I can't remember when we had a 55-minute session. They're more like 3 hours by the time they get out there. But when they get off the horses, that's where we start seeing a lot of the change and the healing take place. It's that camaraderie with cowboys that are veterans.
Fascinating stuff and so important to so many who really need it. And Rick, when we come back, I want to continue on and maybe pursue a slightly different angle. So folks, stay with us, please. We're with Rick Iannucci. We're talking about Horses for Heroes New Mexico. Great, great organization. Stay tuned, folks. Folks, welcome back. This is Kim, your host. This is Green Building Sustainable Development, and we're talking a little bit out of the Green Building Sustainable Development realm, but I think folks that listen to the show know that I like to get my good friends on who are doing amazing things in our community. We often get our YouthWorks friends on here, and actually there's a connection between YouthWorks and the Horses for Heroes is what we're talking about today. We're here with Rick Iannucci, Executive Director of Horses for Heroes New Mexico. And Rick, we were talking about Santa Fe and how, you know, the woo-woo-ness of Santa Fe. And one of the things about Santa Fe is that as a unashamedly progressive community, we don't necessarily have a lot of folks that get in the armed forces that come from Santa Fe. And of course, we've got a hero that we're incredibly proud of here, the most recent Medal of Honor winner, Sergeant Larry Petrie, who's going to get a statue of himself down at City Hall. I don't know if you saw that or not. But Santa Fe is not necessarily a place where we see a lot of combat veterans, or am I wrong about that?
Actually, you're really wrong.
Okay.
I was with Leroy Petrie. Not too long ago, we were at a Halo Warrior Foundation function in Texas together.
Mm-hmm.
Our new friend is now the commanding officer of the battalion out there, Colonel Tim Karcher, and he controls the 34 Warrior Transition Units throughout the country, AW2 project. And Leroy, myself, Dana Bowman, who's an old friend of ours, double amputee, I was able to drag, believe it or not, Colonel Tim Hale, who's our Director of Veteran Services, Cabinet Secretary, out with me. It wasn't much dragging. He decided to drive, and we had a great time out there with these wounded warriors, and we were able to bring two of our own from here. We have the largest population of Native American veterans in the United States coming out of New Mexico.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that per capita.
Didn't know that.
Our Bataan unit a very historical unit. So New Mexico shares a very, very proud history of being first to the fight at a lot of levels. And we have one of the strongest National Guards in the country, as well as an Air Guard unit that's par excellence. It's been deployed. I think I've lost count of the amount of times I've heard they've been deployed now, serving under our new commander-in-chief, Governor Susana Martinez.
You know, it's a good point. And speaking of Angel Fire, one of the first Vietnam Veterans Memorials is up in Angel Fire. And if you folks are up there in the parade, you should definitely take a minute and go up there and pay some respects. Well, I'm glad you set me straight. But your veterans, though, that you're working with aren't necessarily Santa Fe County, Northern New Mexico guys. I mean, you got people coming in from all over the place, don't you?
Well, right now we started out basically as a transition from 4-H, a 4-H program, if you would,
right.
4-H designed program. We took the best of all that we knew on how to put that program together, running the Cowboy Up program now. We've got veterans from all around the state. Primarily our focus is New Mexico. But what we found is that we were getting, the more popular we were getting, with people from around the country, like the Dr. Temple Grandin from Colorado State University, touting us, and Colonel Karcher touting us from Washington, and Tufts University, and here and there, and people were saying, hey, these guys are on to something. We started getting more and more popular. My guest room and my couch started filling up real fast. So for the past 2 years, we had veterans from New Mexico, and occasionally one from a good friend of ours from Nevada had his son out with us, suffering with some PTSD, wounded in Marine, wounded with the 2-9, wounded in Iraq. So we decided that it was time to take it from a day program to a resident program. We just it was just a natural progression. So we raised some money. We were on Scott on Hutton Broadcasting last year. We're always on Uncle Jesse's show, and we did two Cowboy Christmases in a row. Raised enough money for the start, the seed of what we're doing as an agricultural accessory structure or a bunkhouse.
Well, that's a good transition. Glad you brought me into that, because that's actually what's going on out there off Highway 14, just down south of the Lone Butte General Store. And it is a bunkhouse, although it's an accessory structure. It's an agricultural accessory structure, which is kind of like a barn. But it's a little bit more than that, and it's not a big building, 1,100 square feet, but it's a very cool design, designed by local architect Bill Agnew, who I think probably donated his services to the...
He did. Bill was out today, and Bill and I worked for... I'd been around the Western lifestyle for so many years, and at one point in time, I was the commander of the task force that ran the Rocky Mountain region, the eight mountain states up there, so I was... privileged enough to get around to a lot of the big ranches and the big outfits, and got to see some incredible structures and lodges from Jackson Hole to the Tetons and whatnot. But anyway, I took all the things and I would cut little pictures out, and I had an idea about a place, and Nancy and I sat down and we started almost like a Ouija board, putting pictures around each other and saying, this is what we want. And Bill said, we'd go back to Bill, and then Debbie McAllister was jumped on board with him, and we'd go back. He said, is that it? He said, yeah, but we want this a little bigger and that a little smaller. And Bill kept us honest with the codes, and Debbie's draftsmanship was par excellence. And so we ended up with something to go to the county with, who were very cooperative. Everybody complains, oh, these building guys. I said, I've had nothing but a great experience with the county. Went on to the state, to CID, and had a great experience with those guys. They could have been more helpful. So with Ralph Flores starting there and on down the line, I'm on a daily, every other day phone call with guys like Martine or Chris Rodriguez. And if you have a problem, you know, a lot of people are afraid of these guys. And I don't know why, because they've been nothing but helpful and good to us.
Because they have badges.
Well, that nothing, never bothered me.
I know, because you've been wearing one half your life. But anyway, you know, talk about some other folks. Doug Langley, Brycon Construction, you know, pulled the permits on this, and Doug's one of your neighbors, and really got this kicked off.
And it did. And I have to tell you, we were through your benevolence and graciousness, and I got to you through Gateway Marketing and Ken Dietelbach, who's a Vietnam helicopter guy,
right.
A great guy. We were able to get a little coverage in the paper with our kids. Kids, we've got kids out there from Youth Builder and CORE, Kids Swinging Hammers with Eddie Arvizo, who's the team leader there. Great guy.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, I'll just talk about my own involvement real quickly. I think I've mentioned on this radio show before that I'm a Army brat. My dad retired as a lieutenant colonel in the Army when I was 18 years old, which meant I spent all 18 years of my formative years bouncing around Army bases. For me personally, though, having grown up in the Vietnam era as a teenager, I was about as anti-war as anybody could be. And we got a lot of folks like that in Santa Fe. But I got to tell you, when we talk about this program, it doesn't matter what people used to think or even what they think now, because I think they really understand that this goes beyond what you may think about wars or past, present, future, whatever. This is really about helping people who really need some help. And we've been able to get a lot of people who really just automatically said, I'm in, right?
Absolutely. And you're spot on with that. It's not about the war. No, there's nobody that's more anti-war than a former Green Beret. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, people that have seen things firsthand, other people that have been out at the site, and we've had a group of warriors that have come up from Kirtland who've come up to help us. We've had a Navy SEAL, Delta Force guys. You've worked alongside them with us on the site, so you know that they've have an emotional buy into this because it's a good project, and we're doing it for all the right reasons, for the warriors, not the war.
Right.
It transcends politics. We've got Democrats swinging hammers next to Republicans, so it's a good thing. But we've got people like through the Santa Fe New Mexican article, Art Lopez, Art and Tony Lopez came
Lopez
out. Lopez Roofing came out and said, "How can we help?" And they came out and they looked at each other. They said, I rolled the plans out for them. They sat there. They didn't say a lot for a long time. Then they turned around and said, "We're in." I mean, it was as simple as that.
And that, I mean, we had actually got a bid for the roofing that was like, $10,000 or something?
Yeah, and 12,000. One
Tony,
was 12, one was 15.
And I got to tell you, these Lopez brothers, they're coming in and they're doing it. They're going
to
do it.
Yeah, so I said to them, I said, "So you're going to help me with the material?" And they looked at each other and they said, "No, we're going to do this." I said, "You mean like build it?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Wow."
Wow.
I said, "Your guys are going to just jump right on." He said, "We'll make them an offer they can't refuse." I said, okay. But, you know, we had Brycon Electric and we had John Ballou.
Yeah, concrete.
Who brought Scott Healy out. And what they, I mean.
Toby Tercero, Chaparral Materials.
They said, "Hey, when you're ready for drywall, let me know."
Yeah.
You know, we had Bob Krieger from Krieger Designs. "I want to donate two of my new rain vessels. Nobody in the world's got them yet." And
right.
I really mean nobody in the world, because I just patented
them. He just invented them, yeah.
I just invented this. So you're going to get two of them. They're going to look like Petticoat Junction to the back of this thing. And I said, "Great." You know, Paul Hanna from Hanna Plumbing never blinked, sent his guys out every day. He's got, you know, Greg and his son came out.
You got rigid insulation from Art Patterson.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Dow Corning.
Absolutely.
But we're not done.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't got it all, folks.
No, we haven't got it all.
We really are here to try to say we don't have it all, and we actually still need some more help. The people who are throwing down, God bless them, but, you know, we still got a ways to go. And when we come back from this break, we got one more segment, and when we come back from this break, we're going to talk specifically about you who may be intrigued by what we're talking about can still help. Because even after we get to building up, it's still a nonprofit that doesn't get funds from a lot of various places other than fundraisers. And Rick, I think you're going to talk about something you've got going in November. So when we come back from the break, folks, we're going to talk about how you can help, and you can help. So stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to continue with Rick Iannucci of Horses for Heroes New Mexico. And we're going to talk about, we'll figure it out. Stay tuned, folks.
Singing sweet songs. Melody is pure and true, saying, "This is my message to you." Let me tell you what I know now. Oh, yeah. Keep on knocking.
Hey, folks, Kim here, Green Building Sustainable Development. Glad you're sticking with us. Hope you're sticking with us. And also one last shout out to the Parade of Homes going on in Angel Fire right now, today, and also tomorrow. So if it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, jump in your little Rambler and head on up to the Angel Fire Parade of Homes and take a tour of those 10 beautiful homes up there. Today, however, we're finishing up with Rick Iannucci. We're talking about Horses for Heroes, New Mexico. And during the break, Rick just told me he actually had the first gentleman, Mr. Franco, out there. Working on digging some post holes for the portal that we're building on this project out there. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, the first gentleman's been a staunch supporter of ours, as is Governor Martinez, who actually made our keynote address last year at our second annual Cowboy Christmas, and has promised to be with us for a third this year at La Fonda on November 30th this year.
Let's talk about that. Cowboy Christmas.
You bet.
Right after Cowboy Thanksgiving, right?
Right. Well, Thanksgiving is on the previous or Thursday, and then this is like the first Friday in December, so to speak, but it's November 30th, actually.
So they get the little red hat on you, and you do the Santa Claus thing?
We actually put on clean cowboy boots, starch jeans, and a bow tie, and and go
a
out.
Bolo tie, you mean?
Well, no, I don't actually wear the bolos, but
really?
Anyway, we go out to the we'll be having that this year at the La Fonda.
Right.
We've got the whole upstairs this year, and those folks have been absolutely spectacular to work with. We're going to do a silent auction, and this is the first year we are now working with and are, I guess for lack of a better word, co-hosted with the American Gold Star Mothers.
Uh-huh.
The American Gold Star Mothers and out of Albuquerque chapter handle the whole state. They are mothers who have lost a child in combat. And over the past few years, we've become very close with many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've hosted them out at our place. Last year, they had their dinner and donated the proceeds to us. And this year, we had a different spin on it. They decided to join, you know, throw in with us, and so we're going to be co-hosting that dinner together this year
uh-huh.
at the La Fonda on November 30th, and tickets will be available at www.horsesforheroes.org. That's our website,
okay.
And they'll be right up after Labor Day. We'll start putting the tickets up for sale. Tables at 10, tickets are $100, but it's going to be great. It's a silent auction that the American Gold Star Mothers are going to run.
So do you get sponsors for this too? I mean, can
we'd love to have sponsors.
A business out there that
we'd
wants
love
to be
to have
a sponsor?
Sponsors. They can contact us. We'll be sending out a sponsor page and a way to get involved.
Right.
They're always helpful because this year we have R.W. Hampton coming in from Cimarron, Western Music Association's Vocalist of the Year, and who is actually a Blue Star dad. His son just got back from his fifth tour in Afghanistan
wow.
or Iraq.
Wow.
Heck of a guy, heck of a musician, heck of a human being,
right.
Great cowboy, and Kim and the Caballeros. If you
that's not me, folks. That's
yeah,
that's,
yeah not your
that's
Kim,
a different
but
Kim.
Kim Triber and her husband Chip, and they have a fantastic Western swing band. No live auction this year because we want everybody to have a good time, and hopefully the governor will join us again this year and make some remarks. But they have been very staunch supporters of our program. In fact, we're the only horse program in New Mexico now endorsed by that administration and the Department of Veterans Services because
okay.
of what we're doing and the way we're doing it, as well as the military of the Purple Heart.
So in the last break, we were actually talking about what you can do, folks, what you can do to help. And, you know, obviously we still need some folks who can bang some nails and screw in some drywall.
We've got during the week, we have Doug Cady, who is a general contractor with the Builders Association from down in Albuquerque, who's been up weekly. I have a almost like a weekend crew, and then I've got a door in the week crew, which Doug Cady heads up, and he works with the kids, and he's out there swinging hammers with Eddie and the guys side by side. But what we do with the youth group during the week is very interesting because, you know, just digging the hole, for instance, we sat there, Chuck Franco, myself, Doug, and we said, guys, you're not just digging a hole. You're digging the piers for the porch that's going. And we explained it to them, and we have a desk where we lay out the plans. So, you know, they're part and parcel in the leadership end of this thing, teaching them to be the next generation of general contractors.
Well, you know, that's a good point. You know, we mentioned that YouthWorks, and what we did is we got some kids who are in YouthWorks and on the Youth Build grant. They were kind of looking for a good project to get themselves involved with. We had Eddie Arviso and Francis Gingrass, their construction manager. And I said, you know, guys, why don't you come out and work on this project? And they just love it. I mean, I got to tell you that Eddie.
Well, we feed them good, too.
Well, there's that. There's also a way the hay out there on Highway 14, so they can't, like, wander off.
There's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go except
right.
staying on the site. But you know what? I think the kids are loving it, too.
They are. And we had one of our veterans, Brian Johnson, was out. Who was blown up in Iraq and
about the same age as some of those guys.
Yeah,
there,
I mean, you know, Brian doesn't even shave yet, and he did two tours in Iraq, got blown up in his last one in an IED. They thought he was actually evaporated because they only found his helmet, and they were getting ready to lift the chopper out of there, and somebody said, hey, I think something's moving in the bushes, and it happened to be Brian trying
wow.
to claw his way back before the chopper left.
Wow.
And so he's now back, and he's actually staying in the house with us. He's living with us, and he's handy with a hammer. And the kids get to work with real heroes.
Yeah.
Mike Chasen, a former Delta Force Command Sergeant Major. I mean, got, you know, Chris Chasen, his son, who 101st Airborne, blown up in Iraq with an IED. So they're working side by side with these guys every day, and they're getting to know that. You know, we tell them, they get on the site, and we say, hey, first thing you got to do is pull up your pants. You know, second thing is you can be a gangster, but you can't be one here and you can't be one today.
Uh-huh.
And they laugh and they kind of get what we're talking about.
Right.
You know,
so
it's a
cool
fashion statement.
That really is cool.
We love these kids.
You know, back to the you folks who are maybe out there, maybe you've you own a business or you've got a service. Silent auctions need you. Every time a nonprofit does a silent auction, they count on the goodwill of you out in the community to be able to say, hey, I, you know, can see where I can help by donating something. It's also a way to promote your business. You know, so, you know,
we still need help on the interior and we don't have any furniture yet.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's true. We've got Toby Tercero from Chaparral Materials going to help us out with some drywall. But if you've got some skills as a drywall finisher, we're going to do a lot of tongue and groove on the inside of the bunkhouse and the great room. So it'll have a cool Western feel to it. But there's a lot of ways to help folks. Obviously, the big dinner we're going to have out, Cowboy Christmas, is a real good way.
Yeah, and we only do one fundraiser a year. We hate to be a pest to people. And
yeah,
we live off our means. Whatever we can get is what we end up doing through the year. And our program is free to veterans. I encourage them all to go to www.horsesforheroes.org, go through our news and interviews, go through our Cowboy blog, and see what it is that we do for both women's. We're the only ones that have a women warrior program. We have a Native American seed stock program. We have these kinds of programs that nobody else has.
I actually heard that that there's a little YouTube video of me talking. Is that true?
Somebody sent it to me the other day, and I said, "Wow, man, I didn't even make it to the house yet, and it was already on YouTube."
I know, and I wish I'd known. I would have really stuck my gut in, but apparently, you can see me in all my glory out there talking to some kids about why we're out here and what we're doing. Hey, Rick, I'm so pleased you could come in and join us in the studio today, and I'm so pleased to have met you and got involved with this. It really warms my heart to be able to help, and you know, after many, many years being away from the military, it's good to be back around some guys that I got a lot of respect for, so thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you. We're humbled, and we're really honored at the support we've had and the relationship that we have with Santa Fe Area Home Builders, and thank you so much.
All right, man. Stay tuned next week, folks.